This podcast was recorded in June 2016, just before the EU referendum.
Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you to learn, think, and act with integrity so that people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. Hello, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jo.
And we've just recorded a podcast on critical reflection.
We have, and it was very interesting, actually. It's a subject very, very dear to me.
Yes, it's something that we do talk about quite a lot when we do training or what we write about and blog about and try and practice. And I think the idea of this conversation was to talk about actually how we do reflection and when we do it, and also some of the things we've learned from people that we've worked with, you know, some of the hints and tips really about how to do it well and how people make it happen in really difficult circumstances sometimes.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I'm such a convert, Jerry, is because it's not actually my natural style. I am not by nature a reflective person. When I first got into social work, I loved the action and I loved the doing. And so I was a person who would much rather get out and do something than stand around and think about it. And what happened for me was I started to realise that by just responding or reacting to people in the way I wasn't doing enough for them. Mm-hmm. It was like I was just putting on band-aids and I wasn't thinking enough about the underlying causes and difficulties. And so I was having to keep redoing things all the time because I wasn't doing enough being still and letting people have space to think through their own lives and why they got to where they were. And I started to realize that actually people don't really need answers. Mm-hmm. What people need is space and confidence to be permitted to come to their own answers, and that's a lot more powerful. And I think that since I changed my practice, and that's not to say I don't do things, I do lots of things. I still would imagine that you would find me very active and pragmatic in my approach. But I have learnt to form real partnerships with people, and you can only form real partnerships with people if you're not doing to them. You're taking journeys with them.
It's interesting, actually, because my style, unsurprisingly, as you'll know, is much more reflective and planning. So I love to think about things and then write plans out, and I'm less hot on doing, and I'm not very confident about talking about feelings. So one of the things that I found when I came across, I got the chance to spend more time thinking about critical reflection, came across the reflective cycle and really started to use it, was that it enables you to draw on all of the ways of being. So it does help you to think about what you're actually doing and to think about how you feel about it before you then get into the analysis and the planning. So it opened up a whole set of information for me. And I find that just working through that in conversations that I have with people, so if someone comes to me with a question or a problem, to ask them about what's happening, ask them about how they feel about it, ask them about what they think it means, and then ask them about what they might do, is really helpful in all areas of life, actually. It does kind of take you through the steps and it gets you to action, but in a much more useful manner. And it doesn't need to take lots and lots of time, depending on the situation, you know.
Yes, it becomes quite habitual, doesn't it? And I know that in reflection, that's one of the things we're warned against, is that we don't make it so habitual that we think we're reflecting when we're not. But for me, if you concentrate carefully on the feelings side of things and ask not only how did you feel about it, but how do you think other people felt about it? How did the other person on the other side of the encounter feel?
Yeah.
It often gives you a chance to really improve your practice in terms of discrimination, actually, because if you start to think about power imbalances and you start to think about how a person feels receiving services, it quickly gives you an insight into some of the powerlessness or some of the way people can feel positioned.
Yeah.
And when you articulate that, it invites you to be more thoughtful as in terms of how you respond. And so it's a good way to put yourself in other people's shoes to think about those feelings. And the other thing about feelings is feelings are information. And if you feel uneasy or uncertain or anxious or worried or fearful, any of those types of emotions, they are giving you information about the type of transaction you're having with another person.
Yeah, and also if you ignore them or ride over them, then the action that you end up taking isn't going to be anything like as helpful. So one of the things that I learned about myself as a manager when I started to use the reflective cycle more was that if people were upset about something, I would talk to them rationally about it and try and plan a way around it rather than acknowledging the emotion. And so the things that I did actually weren't helpful. So for example, if I asked people to sit in a different place in the office and they found that difficult because it was a change and it caused emotional stress, and I said, well, you know, you need to understand why we're doing it and here's a plan for how it's going to work, that didn't help. What actually helped was listening to the emotions and allowing space for those, because then the planning, the thinking and the planning fitted with what was needed rather than ignoring the emotional side and therefore being actually off the mark.
Yes, I think it's tempting sometimes, particularly with our colleagues, to try and ignore emotions or to find them tiresome or too challenging. But of course, things like hot desking or changing desks or being confronted with the changing role or the possible loss of a job are going to bring an emotional response in us, because we're going to be wondering if we're safe, if we can, you know, plan our future and those types of things, and they bring strong emotional responses. And a lot of the time people kind of say, you've got to be professional. If you're professional, then you don't talk about those types of emotions. But actually, I think there is a useful way to talk about them. And for me, it's all about containment. How do we acknowledge emotions and use them helpfully to have adult conversations about things that are worrying or distressing us without feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah, because really there isn't any situation in social work practice or any of the kind of allied work around it, the kinds of things we do around workforce development or any sort of national discussions or anything where you don't need to understand what's happening, acknowledge the emotion, because there always will be emotion because of the uncertainty, and then think carefully and plan. So you do need to be reflecting all the time. We tend to criticize habit as being problematic in social care and social work, that you don't want people to get into habits, you want people to be thinking. However, the habit of thinking is okay.
I think that's right.
That's the exception.
And as well as that, Jerry, there's also the fact that there is a pace required to what we do. We do actually have to deliver things in quite rapid demand environments, and that requires us to have a number of good habits. But for me, it's about using supervision, using peer learning opportunities, using training to actually really scrutinise your habits carefully and ask yourself, well, who are they serving?
Yeah.
Is this just serving me? Is it serving me in the organisation? Is it serving me, the organisation, and the client? And really being able to challenge yourself, and that's that analysis part coming in. And it's the same as if you're overwhelmed by emotions all the time or you're always acting emotionally, it's going to be very hard for you to transfer your learning or your practice across to other cases. And so you do have to put that thinking head on top of that responsiveness.
Yeah, and I think in terms of practicalities, the really inspiring thing is that when we talk to social workers and managers about critical reflection, they are managing to do it, even though it's really, really busy. And where we see really quality reflection, it's people making use of the opportunities that they have in a structured way, because people do talk to each other at work, and they do pause and think, and they do have supervision generally. And there are often opportunities for teams to get together or for social workers to get together. And it's really about making the best possible use of that time, and using a structured approach, using cycle or another well-evidenced exercise to get the most out of the time that you have.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more, Jerry. The fact is, if you want to use your time well and wisely and profitably, then it is good to follow a structure. If you have an uncontained conversation, what you tend to do is to reinforce each other's prejudice. And I guess one of the things with these podcasts that we aim to do is we aim to explore the topic area thoughtfully first in a very planned and structured way. And then we come together and we talk, well, what did we think about that? What did we learn about that? You know, are there ever times when it's just good to chat? And I guess debriefing after a crisis, you might not want any structure at all. You might just want to have an outpouring of everything and then some space to come back to reflect afterwards. So I'm sure there are times when a lack of structure could be helpful. But I think if that's the only area you operate in, after a while it'll become an impediment.
Yeah, one of the things that I do is I use voice memo on my phone and I talk myself through the cycle. So if I've got something on my mind, that's the way that I work through it. It takes 15 to 20 minutes. And then I listen back to it and I think, gosh, that there's a lot going on there that isn't obvious, but it comes through when you listen back. I also do use my supervision for that. And people like you, you know, close colleagues that I feel I can talk really openly about what's happening and the impact it's having and what it might mean and what I might do. I think one of the things that we really encourage people to do is to think about who they reflect with. So not just reflecting on their own, but who are the helpful people for them? Yeah. And why are they helpful? Because what we don't mean is who's nice to you.
That's right.
That's part of it. You need to be supportive.
And I see challenge as very supportive, personally, when it's done with good intent, because for me it stops that action part as well, and it pulls me up and makes me go, oh, okay, well, why did I think that? Why was I going to do that? And I find that really useful, and it makes me feel safe, actually. I feel a lot safer when I'm challenged than I do when I'm kind of pandered to, is not the right word, but when I'm just sitting with people who are nodding their heads at me all the time. And that's one of the profitable things I find in our relationship, is there's often times where I have to stop and go, well, okay, why do I believe that? Mm. Is it defensible? Is it well-researched?
Yeah, and you learn things about yourself, don't you, which can be uncomfortable, but it's really helpful. It's really really good to know that you can learn more about yourself, that you're a work in progress.
I hope
so. There's always
so.
Better things you can do. And the final thing in terms of practicality that it's worth just mentioning is about environments, I think,
yes.
Where people reflect.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. I mean, we have a lot of conversations, don't we? We probably should do a podcast on hot desking and office environments.
I would love to do a podcast on hot desking.
Well, let's put that down for the next one.
Okay.
But certainly finding those spaces. Because, again, it's not necessarily about I don't think the perfect space. It's about creating the right atmosphere within a space. So being with the right people and trying to cut out interruptions, I would say, are the most important things. Yeah, and I think the reflective question maybe to finish with then is about those kind of safe spaces and people. So where do I feel safe and who do I feel safe with? Because that will give us a clue as to where we can maybe do our best reflection.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Jerry. It's always really lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been good. All right, take care then.
Radio, bye-bye.